Good evening and hello everyone. This is Stan with Stan the Coach, back from COVID. Well, hopefully back. We are back in Studio C and Z right here. We got Coach Ennis over in Studio C and I'm in Studio Z. We had some mandates and we didn't want to wear our masks, so here we are. Coach, how's it been going? It's been a long time, actually almost a year, since we've actually got a chance to talk, and we're going to talk some 1A football tonight from this past season and kind of look at next season. How's it been going?
It's been going well, between the COVID and other incidences, we've been trying to make it. It ain't been easy, but we're gonna make it.
Well, I know I've focused a lot of my attention to rec league sports with my younger kids, and I know your son played his first year in the rec leagues, and I believe his team won a Super Bowl. He'd probably have a Super Bowl ring coming his way.
I don't know about a ring, but they did win the championship. Yeah, they had a really good year. They played 180 games.
Every Saturday, all day.
Yeah, I think they played 180. Might have been 2,000.
And they weren't close by either.
No. We went to some school down in Florida, and I think we did. We drove past the school, and Castro's brother ended up giving me directions to get to the school. And we ended up going back to it and getting there on time and everything. But no, he had a really good time. But now he had some really good coaches on his team. He had Mitch Thorne, help me out here.
That's Sean Jackson.
They had Sean Jackson and
Mitch Thorne was one of the coaches.
Yeah, Mitch Thorne, and I can't believe Corey Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of them, and Corey's going to be mad at me. That's all right. But they did a really good job. And the thing I liked that they did, instead of yelling and screaming all the time, they actually taught these boys some fundamentals of football instead of just yelling and screaming the whole time. It really helped. It really did.
Well, I know if you were teaching me, I'd probably do a whole lot better if you didn't yell and scream at me just to be yelling and screaming.
Yeah, you know, Stan, I've told this story before. When I was coaching at Wayne State College, I had a player that had spent two stints in the military, and when he got out, he came to school on GI Bill and decided he wanted to play football. He was married, had a family, going to school and playing football, and we were about the same age. And one day after practice, he came and knocked on my door and said, "Coach, can I talk to you for a minute?" I said, "Sure." So he came in and sat down, and he said, "I just want you to know, I understand, you know, that yelling and screaming is a motivating tool. I was in the military, so I understand that." He said, "But I just want you to know, at no point in time do we ever come in the dressing room and sit down and say, 'Let's see how bad we can piss off Coach Ennis today.'" He said, "If you'll tell us what you want, we'll do the best we can make that happen. And I mean, it really did change the way I coach.
Well, that's what we're gonna get a chance to talk a little football. We're gonna talk some 1A football tonight. We're gonna recap Class 1A last season, Region 1. We got some
little changes there.
Yeah, they're gonna be in Region 2 next year in a 9-team region, and we'll cover that after we recap it. But in that region, you had Brantley, who finished 1. Kinston, first time in the history of football, they hosted a playoff game. They finished 2, and they won a playoff game at home.
I have been telling everybody since Coach Free got there that if they'd give that man time, he can build a good program, and he's proven I was telling the truth.
Mm. And then the third seed was Sampson, who will move back up to 2A, and the fourth seed was McKenzie. And rounding out that region was 3 Covenant County schools in Red Level, Florella, and Pleasant Home, in that order. And so I hate to say that region is a little top heavy because they had Brantley. But it was a surprise with Kinston. And like you said, you've been saying that for a couple of years. Give him time, give him time. And I think we're going to find out more about them next year, because I think they had a ton of seniors graduate. So
they did, but I'm going to tell you, the one thing about Rudy is he does a great job in the weight room. And, you know, In high school football, it's not the 5-star players that win you games. It's those guys that get out there and work hard and play hard for their coach that wins games. And Rudy does a great job doing that.
Well, we're going to start with Pleasant Home, Coach. We're going to review Pleasant Home. They got a new coach down there, Coach Jeremy Silcox. He took over for, I can't remember that guy's name. It was we had a lookalike one night, and he was a John Goodman lookalike. So
I can't believe you forgot his name. I mean, he had such a profound stint down there.
Well, he did. And I think he may have retired or moved on. Also, I left Georgiana out of that mix too, Coach. I forgot Georgiana was in
and
that.
And you know,
mud.
Georgiana's they've got a new coach.
That was Coach Bess, is that right?
Yeah.
We'll find out. I got Pleasant Home right here, Coach. I could see it a lot better if I had my glasses. They finished 1-9.
Yeah.
They beat Georgiana, second game of the season. And was competitive over their last 4 games. They did, however, graduate 12 seniors. You know, Pleasant Home's going to consistently struggle with numbers as far as quality. When I say quality, I'm talking about quality players.
Look,
at every position.
They're going to struggle with speed.
Yeah, well, that's a nice way of putting it.
They're going to struggle with speed. You know, historically, Pleasant Home has been very big and very slow. And in today's game, that's not a real good combination.
No. But you reckon they keep the grass high down there at Pleasant Home?
No. Listen, that field is nice. They've got, from what I understand, they've got like 15 or 20 head of sheep that come through there, and they just nip the tops of it off, and they keep it down for, I mean, it's like a golf green out there.
Well, I have to go see them sheep then.
It's a sight to behold. They turn them loose twice a day, and they just get in a straight line and go across, and then they come back, and they put them up, and they do it again that afternoon. And they do, you know, sheep just kind of just nip at the top right there.
Yeah.
And they just.
Well, that's about how Coach Silcock's first season went. He nipped it. He's got those kids down there believing. I've had a chance to talk with him, and he's fully invested in Pleasant Home, and he is very positive and a good role model for those kids down there. But it's like you said, size and speed. Hopefully they're not 5 wide trying to chunk it everywhere.
That wouldn't be advisable, but the one thing that Pleasant Home has always had is good, tough, hardworking kids, and I really believe if they could get somebody down there that would commit to Pleasant Home and commit to be there for an extended period of time, so that they could build a program and get a good established weight program and off-season program going, I think Pleasant Home could. I really do. I believe they're a diamond in the rough. And look, they could do the same thing at Pleasant Home that Coach Free did at Kinston.
And those are two big rivals as well. So, we'll look at that as we look at kind of a preview when we preview the region changes. But I don't want to say they're always saying they're rebuilding, but Coach Silcox is laying the foundation down there, and I think you hit the nail on the head. He is probably going to be there as long as they'll let him stay. And because he cares about Pleasant Home, he cares about those kids. Next team up, Coach, Georgiana. You spent a month there one night years ago.
I did. I was there with Coach Shane Waston. We had a couple of pretty good football teams there.
Well, they graduated a lot the year before, and they went 0-10 this year. Had to play a lot of young kids. Look at their roster, a lot of 8th and 9th graders on that. Listen, and if you got to play a bunch of 8th and 9th graders, a varsity schedule, that does not bode well in the business.
They did. I've talked to a couple of coaches down there at Georgiana, and Coach Burleson. And Coach Burleson told me, he said, we're very, very young and inexperienced, and that doesn't make for a good combination. But I'll tell you what they did. They started some of those 7th, 8th, and 9th graders. And when I say some, I mean at most positions, they had 7th, 8th, and 9th graders. And it wasn't. They lived and died with them this year. And typically when you have a 1 or 2A school that does that, it doesn't take but just a couple of years, and those 10th graders are playing like seniors.
Yeah. Well, they only graduated 6 seniors off last year's team, and they had a new coach who was kind of hired at the last minute. Coach Barry Bess took over, so he's got a year with those kids, and he'll get to have him a spring if they do a spring, and hopefully gets every kid out over in Georgiana, because traditionally, basketball-wise, they're very strong. If you can get some of those guys that can play basketball, and they can help you out tremendously.
Athletes help.
Yeah, and hopefully they can erase that 0-10 at Georgiana, because that's just like it. All the small schools like that they go through those cycles. And heck, I remember going through a cycle, was in the spin cycle at Florella, and we were still spinning, and we couldn't play Dad in the John Wayne movie.
That wasn't a cycle. That was a drought.
There was
no water to be found in Florella. Lake Madison was dry.
Yeah, it was tough, but they're in kind of a middle phase right now. Next team we're going to look at, Coach, is, if I can find them, McKenzie. I'm sorry, not McKenzie. Florella. Going right to Florella. Got finished 3-7. Did not make the playoffs, which they did the year before. They were not consistent at all last year.
Well, I'll go out on a limb and say that they'll probably follow suit this year too.
Yeah, well, they graduated. Let's see. 5 seniors. They were rather young themselves. They did beat Georgiana, Red Level, and Pleasant Home. They beat the Vokes. They had to beat, but they struggled with everybody else. Their non-region game for Houston Academy, Providence Christian, and Houston County.
I'd be upset with whoever made that schedule.
Yeah, that had 2 Dothan's private schools, and Houston County will be going into that region this year. So, Florella's another one of those. Coach Littleton, this will be his 3rd year down there. He came out like gangbusters first year, fell off a little bit this year. Still, it's going to be, I'm afraid, another tough year in that region.
Well, I don't see things changing in Florella. I wish them well, but I don't see a whole lot changing this year.
No. I tell you, one team that did come on at the end of the year, Coach, we're going to look at Red Level. Coach Skipper over in Red Level. Now, all these records I got from the Alabama High School Athletic Association, I don't know if they're, I don't want to be spreading fake news or anything like that. That is where I got these. Yeah, I don't want to get canceled before we even get started back up real good. But they finished 4-5, and they came on and won their last 2 ball games to end their season. So they had a little momentum there. But I tell you one thing I would do, which I know why they played them, is to make a little money. They opened the season with Strawn.
Well, you know, Strawn and Red Level used to be a big rival.
Yeah, back when they were about the same size schools.
Well, and you know, look, I don't have a problem with schools playing a couple of classifications above them. You know, I think you can look at it 2 ways. One, it kind of gives you a little measuring stick there. And 2, it helps you play up to your competition. You know, I'd put Strawn and Brantley right there in that same class as far as quality football teams. And with Brantley being in your area, that just gives you another chance to play another good quality team.
Right. Well, they were competitive in the McKenzie game. It was close. Kinston got them pretty good. Florella edged them out by 2 scores. They did beat Pleasant Home and beat J.F. Shields to end the season. So that was some good scheduling right there by Coach Skipper. Have Shields on that schedule. And they only had 4 kids graduate. So he's got most of his team coming back. And I think you're going to see them make a run at one of the playoff spots.
I think so. You know, those 4 spots that's going to be in that particular region, is they're not just going to hand those out. You're going to have to work for them.
You're listening to Stan and the Coach on the Power Prep Sports Network.
Next up, finished 4th in that region, was McKenzie. And Coach Luker over at McKenzie, they finished 6-3. That's Coach Drew Luker. You know a few of those guys over there at McKenzie. I believe you know Coach Coughlin. I don't know if any of them other guys were there when you went through there, but they have one kid that they say is a heck of an athlete that will still be back. I can't.
They do. His name is Bo. Can't remember Bo's last name, but Bo plays running back. He's a really good athlete, really good running back. From what I understand, he's getting some looks from some D1 schools, and deservedly so. But you know, McKenzie has had a history of really good running backs. You know, they've had all the Shufords that have come through there. They got this Bo coming through there. I wish I could remember his last name.
I think that's it.
And I believe that McKenzie has got a player right now. I think he's on West Virginia's. He plays for West Virginia right now. He plays wide receiver at West Virginia. I'm pretty sure, unless he went into portal and transferred, he should still be there. But, you know, McKenzie's always got really good athletes. The biggest problem they've had at McKenzie over the last few years is when they've had good running backs, the offensive line hadn't been real good. And when they've had good offensive linemen, running backs been a little shaky. So, you know, I think right now they've got a good combination of both, and I wouldn't be surprised if they made a little run at it. Coach Luker does a really good job up there. Coach Coughlin is one of the best coaches I've ever coached with, as far as knowledge of the game and getting the kids to play hard. Coach Coughlin is one of the best.
All right, moving on to the...
And that, look, they still have... they still have that high-quality H2O up there.
I figure that's what makes... motivates those kids right there. They know they're going to get that when they come off the field.
Yeah, absolutely. They still have it up there.
Keep them hydrated. You know, they won a state championship back in, what, 88, 89?
I think so.
Somewhere around there. And when Coach Dower, the pirate.
Yes. Dewar.
Dewar. Dewar. I guess that's right. Dewar.
old Shuford's playing.
They were something special.
I'm telling you, they had Mickey Jones punted or kicked for them and played defense. They had the Shufords. They were something to watch. Now they really were.
All right, next up, make playoffs there, the third seed in 1A Region 1 was the Sampson Tigers. Coach Jason Wampus.
Big Papa Puff.
Finished 7-4. Their losses were Brantley, Cottonwood, Kinston, and their playoff game to Linden, which they played Linden tough.
Coach, yeah, they did.
Lost 20-12. Lost a heartbreaker there to Kinston, 21-20. I think they got denied a 2-point conversion to end that ball game.
They did.
They lost a lot. They had 10 seniors off last year's team. Two of those guys are, one of them's going to go play at Huntington. Another one's going to go on to play at Birmingham Southern. Now, you know, when you talk about schools like that, that's not your SEC Big D1 programs, but it's college football.
Well, Coach, I'm going to tell you, I'm a big believer that, you know, these kids like that, the difference between them and the ones that do go D1 usually is nothing more than height.
They got
the same heart. They got the same desire. The only difference usually is height and speed. But sometimes, you know, Pat Dye once said, it's tough to measure a player on the hoof. And he's right.
Well, I know both those kids that are going to further their careers, and they're good young men. They've had good, solid careers, high school careers. I think they fit in those type of programs. That's the kind of kids that they're looking for. And if they can hang in there, they'll have a good career in college.
Well, I hope so. I wish them the best.
All right. Second seed out of that region, the Kinston Bulldogs, which we talked about them earlier, finished 8-4. I think that's the most wins in a season, hosting a playoff game, winning a home playoff game. The only bad thing in the second round, they got to meet Sweetwater, who eventually was a state champion. But Coach Free, he's got those guys going. Now, they did send an email. Graduate 8 seniors off that bunch, but they do return their quarterback, who looks like SEC tight end. It's about 6'5", 200, at least 30 pounds, Cale Sumlin.
Yes.
He's probably going to have a chance to go play after he graduates, and that probably won't play quarterback, but he is an overall, he's an athlete.
Well, one of the things that Rudy does is Rudy does a great job teaching these young men how to be men. And how to play the game, and how important your work ethic is. That's what Rudy just struck. I mean, that's where he, to me, he's ahead of some of these other coaches. He does a great job of building these kids to where they can compete at a higher level. And I'm just, I listen, I can't sing enough praises about Rudy. I think he's a great coach. More important than that, Rudy's a great person. I would love for my son to have a chance to play under Rudy Free. I can tell you that. And that's about the highest compliment I can give.
Well, they're gonna have a another chance to make that playoff run in that region. It will, I think, get tougher. But they wrote some history, got it in the history books last year. And, you know, Kist is one of those places, Coach. I had an opportunity to work down there early when I first started. And it didn't matter if they were 0-10 or 5-5. Those folks on Friday night would pack that little stadium out.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. If you live in the Kinston area, other than going to the football game, what options do you have for entertainment?
You could ride about 7 miles up the road to Opp and right around Hardee's, I guess. That's about it.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. I mean, I guess you could go coon hunting.
Yeah. Go fishing or something.
Maybe snipe in a bag.
Yeah, go snipe hunting. But yeah, back then, you know, they had the big little store sitting there on 52. Go over and have you a cup of coffee and a greasy egg roll or something. But yeah, that, and it's the only game in town. And they turn it out and they get that orange and blue and they're proud of it. Right there in Kent. Now, the number one team out of that region, the Brantley Bulldogs. Seems like they're always at the number one spot every year, Coach.
You're listening to Stan and the Coach on the Power Prep Sports Network.
As usual, Coach does not answer his phone. Still hadn't answered his phone. And will not answer his phone. Brantley finished 11-1. You gonna see them. Hold on, there's Coach Ennis right there. Hello?
My computer just went dead.
Okay, well, that's what I was saying, that either when you're talking about snipe hunting, that one of them snipes got in your house and got hold of you, or you didn't pay the power bill.
We're gonna blame Steve, you know, being at my studio.
Well, I'm still recording right here, so you can go right there because we're just about to wrap it up, you know, except for a couple of things. I was talking about Brantley. The last question I asked you, and I kept going, what you think? The question I ask you is, why is Brantley so successful every year, Coach?
To me, the biggest reason is those kids over there believe they're supposed to win. So they do. You know, in high school football, that's a big part of being successful is believing that you're going to be successful. And those kids at Brantley, from the time they're in elementary school till they get up ready to play, all they
they finished, made it to the fourth round, lost to Sweetwater, eventual state champs. Very close ball game. They are losing Tucker Kilcrease, Mr. Everything there, played quarterback, signed with Troy. But they have an opportunity there late in the year. He was hurt, and the Parks kid had a chance to play some quarterback and got a lot of reps, and they won ball games with him there. So they're going to have a little experience coming back at that position. It's just not like they lost, you know, Kilcrease, and what are we going to do? They got some experience coming back.
Well, and that's the thing. Brantley does a great job of taking these kids when they're younger and getting them experience and getting them playing time. You know, that's one thing that people don't understand and coaches don't understand. A lot of them don't, is that when you get an opportunity to play some of those younger players, all he's doing is getting experience for them. And there's no substitute for that. And not only that, you go back and you look at Brantley's playoffs over the last 4 or 5 years, and you see that each year they're going to the semifinals, they're going to the finals. And when you're doing that, not only are your younger kids getting experience, but think about all those extra weeks of practice that they get. You take a kid that's in the ninth grade and you go to the semifinals 2 years in a row, now they just had another 8 weeks of practice that these other players their same age at other schools didn't get. And that's huge.
Well, I know it's benefited them there, and, you know, the tradition, it's like you said, they expect to win. And heck, when that's expected of you, you're going to run a little faster and play a little harder and work a little harder in the weight room in the off season, and success breeds success.
Well, not only that, when you grow up in Brantley, the whole town, everybody there, expects you to be successful and to win, and when you don't, they're going to hold you accountable. And, when the whole town's holding the team accountable, that's, you can make pretty big strides that way.
Yeah. Coach, they made a few changes this last fall, for the next 2 years. That region's going to go to be Region 2. Sampson drops out of that region. They'll be moving back up to 2A, but they have it doesn't get any easier for these schools. Elba, the Tigers of Elba, will be joining that region along with Houston County. So you have Brantley, Elba, Florella, Georgiana, Houston County, Kinston, McKenzie, Pleasant Home, and Red Level. You have a 9-team region, Coach. It makes scheduling easy. But only 4 of those guys can make it to the playoffs out of those 9.
Well, I mean, you're basically what you're looking at there, Coach, is who's going to be the 3 and 4 seed.
Right.
1 and 2, I can almost guarantee you who that's going to be. I don't know which one is going to be what, nor does it matter. Because when you start putting Elba and Brantley, you know, Coach, the one thing about that is they as soon as that region was formed, you had a rivalry that was established right then.
Yes.
Because I guarantee you the coaches at Elba and the coaches at Brantley and the players at Elba and the players at Brantley have been talking about that since it happened. And when those two meet in regular season, if you don't have anywhere that you are just bound and determined to go, I would be at that stage.
Yeah, be at the Elba Brantley game.
I'm gonna have to miss it, but that is one that I promise you over the years is gonna develop into a huge rivalry.
Well, that's gonna be, you know, like you said, 1 and 2 wherever they fall, and then you have 7 schools fighting for 2 spots.
I'm just going to say this. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it right now. And when I do, Rudy's going to get mad at me and probably text me and tell me to shut up. But to me, he's as liable to be in that 3 spot ahead of anybody else on that list right there.
If I had to look at that right there, I would, of course, this is a wish list or a guess list. You'd have Elba and Brantley and then top two, then have Kinston, and I'm going to go with Red Lovell and McKenzie battling. Kinston, McKenzie, and Red Lovell battling for those.
Yeah, Coach, I think that's a great prediction right there. Not taking anything away from any of those other programs. I heard Shane Watson say one time that class and character will take you a long way when it starts getting tough. And I can promise you Rudy's Reed's teams are going to have both of those.
That's right. Well, Coach, that's going to wrap up 1A football as far as the teams that we look at. We back from COVID, hopefully going to be able to continue to spit these things out at least once a week. Now I know that you had a little accident recently.
Okay. I did. Ori, my son, we were doing some drills in the backyard, and we were doing some tackling drills and had some cones set up and a tackling dummy, and he just wasn't executing it the way I wanted him to. So I told him, I said, well, just get out of the way, let me show you how to do this. And when he was doing it, he had his cleats on, and he wasn't doing bad, but you know, sometimes daddy can just do it better.
Right.
So I started to make my cut, and you know, Brian Straza doesn't have a whole lot of traction.
Yeah, especially if it's, it doesn't have any to begin with, but if it's wet, it really doesn't have any.
No, and it had been missed in that day, and you know, we're still out there, but I hit that pine straw, and the next thing I knew, I was laying on the ground, holding my knee, and Ori, being the concerned son he was, walked over there and said, Daddy, that ain't how you want me to do it, is it?
Oh.
And, but since that time, I, you know, sometimes us men, we can be a little stubborn. And I waited about a week and a half before I finally went to the doctor. And they informed me that I had a broke ankle and had a little ligament damage in my ankle, and had a little tear on my ACL and on my MCL. And so we are
or not do it on pine straw.
Yeah, that may be a better option.
Well, I know I can see Ori right now saying that to you. Just as innocent and any minute.
He wasn't real concerned about my pain level.
Have you got one of those boots on?
I do. I have to wear one of them boots, and I'm going to tell you, I hate that thing. I've been lucky. It's been dry and not too cold up until now. And then I look outside the studio here, and it's raining, and the wind looks like it's blowing like a hurricane.
Well, so it's safe to say you won't be in any kickball tournaments anytime soon.
No, and I won't be in, I won't be in any kickball. I really believe that. I wish I had some exotic story like, me and the beautiful Miss Olivia took a trip to Aspen and I got injured on a snow skiing accident, but
no, I can't even do that. Well, Coach, we hope you get on the mend and get all healed up so you can get back out there on and show them how it's done. Well, Coach, that's going to wrap us up, man. That's just one in a row.
Hey, we got one in a row. We're rolling.
You know, back from COVID, you don't hear a whole...
I can tell you this. If we have to stay separated, Steve is coming to your studio. I'm tired of you kicking over stuff here.
Yeah, well, I had a chance to talk with Coach Dent from Andalusia about his baseball camp, and we got a drum set here in our studio, and I had to run him off of it the other night. Right in the middle of the interview, he wanted to start banging them cymbals, and it didn't work out well for him.
Well, we had some wrestling mats laid out here, and he put on his mask and was acting like he was wrestling. He kicked over the camera and unplugged it, and it's just a mess.
Well,
he's over pouting right now.
Well, I may not have had a chance to talk to him much, but, he got a lot of Nerf guns for Christmas. And he's been going to these Nerf challenges, kind of like laser tag, except they shoot Nerf darts at each other. I think he's going somewhere around LaGrange, Georgia this weekend to participate in a Nerf tournament.
Well, I wish him well. I scolded him. I had to rough talk him a little bit. He's curled up over in the corner pouting right now.
I told him he might be the oldest person there at that Nerf tournament this weekend.
I guarantee he'll be the fattest.
Oh, I told him to wear eye protection. He came out with a welder's helmet.
Yeah, his already ain't the brightest.
Yeah.
Well, we love him.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Coach, one in a row. Hopefully next time we'll get you a charge on your computer. We can make it the whole way. But,
and keep Stevie from knocking the camera over.
Yeah, do that. Hopefully we can get back together for a show or two here soon.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And, for both the people that's watching it, we appreciate it.
That's right. All right, Coach. Baseball season and softball's right around the corner. We'll have a lot to talk about then. We'll talk about some 2A football the next time we get together. And so we'll see you then. The Stan for Coach Ennis, Coach Greg Ennis for Stan and the Coach.
Hey, this is the Tire King at Dalton Tire and Auto listening to Stan and the Coach.
Hey, welcome back from the break. This is Stan with Stan the Coach, man. It's been a great show.
thus far, and we're up to my favorite part of the show is we get to have our guests. We got the coach tonight. We have Tyler Dent, the head baseball coach at Andalusia High School, also known as the GOAT in these parts around here. And Coach Dent, hey, it's great to have you. I know you were over there at a big-time senior night basketball game. I appreciate you taking your time to come over and talk with us tonight. Full practice started Monday, just yesterday. That's
right. Yep.
And, you know, what's the expectations going into 2022? And who can we look at as far as I know it might be early, but as far as, you know, you can put your saddle on this horse and who's going to carry this team this season?
Yeah, we Stan, appreciate you having, man. Look, you know, this is what you do is great, man. It's, you know, we need all the coaches in this area need the most recognition they can get because there's a lot of good ones. But, you know, expectations, you know, we kind of take it piece by piece. We want to play at home in the first round of the playoffs. And to do that, you know, we've got to beat Greenville and Charles Henderson. We're in a three-team area. And, you know, one of those three teams is not going to go. Two of them will. You know, in 5A baseball, you know, you want to be at home in the first round. You know, I say that, and, you know, we get a matchup like St. Paul's in the first round last year, which was just pretty tough. You know, we were 20-4 going into the playoffs last year and lost those two games and we were done. And, you know, had beaten them early in the year in two extra inning games. But, you know, 5A baseball, there's a lot of good quality teams, you know, and so that's kind of the deal with that. But, you know, guys moving forward, you know, obviously Aiden Amos, you know, a guy's been with us since 2018, you know, was an eighth grader in 18 and hasn't done anything but get better. I mean, he is just a phenomenal young man that represents his school, his community, and his family so good. I mean, I can't – Aiden Amos is a model kid. I mean, he really is. Model athlete, model student, model everything. But, you know, other than that, Stan, you know, we've got a good, solid senior class. You know, had some guys come in that are going to, you know, really have to carry some weight for us. But one guy I want to talk about a little bit is Joseph Turner, our guy behind the plate. And, you know, 2 years ago in the shutdown year, whatever you want to call it, I challenged him. I said, man, you got to be our guy behind the plate because, you know, Aiden's our shortstop and Aiden could catch and he was really good in 2020. But Joseph, man, he couldn't catch. I mean, he couldn't catch a ball. If you threw one in the dirt, he couldn't block it.
He had a left-handed mitt.
Yeah, it's awful. I mean, it was terrible. And he knew that. And I said, all right, you know, and then we got shut down. So, you know, we kind of dodged that one. We kind of hid. And then last year, I spent a lot of time myself with Joseph. You know, we don't have anybody on staff that knows a whole lot about catching. You know, I mean, not many people do, but, you know, YouTube's a great thing in the coaching world if you didn't know. But if you're not stealing something off of Twitter or YouTube, then you're not coaching right in today's world. But, man, Joseph did such a great job last year. I mean, he was a guy that just a firecracker behind the plate, man. I mean, he's just a dog. And, you know, he's got a cannon for an arm. He's gotten bigger and stronger in the weight room. And I tell those guys, I've told our guys several times in the past couple weeks, if you're not good in the middle, you know, catcher, middle infield, and center, you know, you're not going to be very good. And we've had some guys in center the past, you know, 5 or 6 years that they've been pretty good. The middle infield's been good. We've been decent on the mound, but, you know, that guy behind the plate that, you know, we had Hogan Nichols a couple years ago, but Joseph Turner's, he's carrying a lot of weight. He's done a really good job so far.
What about is Patel still playing?
Absolutely. Osh Patel, man, he's awesome. What is he,
6'11"?
He's tall. He's really tall.
I mean, when he lets go of the ball, it's like 3 feet in front of the plate, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, Osh is a guy, you know, he had the lowest ERA on the team last year. And, and threw a lot of innings, a lot of meaningful innings. You know, him and Connor Brooks. Connor Brooks was a sophomore for us last year. He's a junior now. They throw a lot, threw a lot of meaningful innings. You know, Tucker Glenn, those guys. But Osh, Stan, 2 years ago, could not throw a strike. And we spent – I mean, I was down to the last straw with Osh, and I finally – you know, we said, Osh, do this and just throw it. And you know, just go knee to knee and throw the ball over the plate. And, man, he found something one day, and it's like, all right, we figured it out. And he is, man. He's like – he's 6'10", 6'11", and just – His hands are, you know, that long, and everything he throws moves, and he's really tough to hit.
Well, I know I've seen him. You know, you talked about him struggling early on. That I've seen that improve a few times. I've got a chance to watch y'all play and him get a chance there on the mound. But he is really improved, and I know he's going to be one that y'all are going to expect some innings out of again.
Absolutely. A lot of meaningful innings.
But, well, do you think y'all going to be hit for power? Going to have to – you hear folks, coaches say we're going to have to play small ball and things like that. I think that just from watching you coach, you're going to play to what's going to be advantageous to what your guys can do.
Well – we don't hit it out of the infield much, so we're going to probably bunt a lot.
Well, that means you're pretty fast on the bases,
yeah. Yeah, we spent a lot of time on base running last year, and did some things different last year, and we'll do it again. You know, this year coming up.
Hold on, I got a guy on some drums. Hey, I got coached in on get off them drums over there. Got Stevie over there on the drum set here in the studio. I'm sorry, Coach.
You know, we've spent a lot of time on base running, and we take a lot of pride in it. So if we can find a way – if I could find a way to steal first, we would be really good. But the problem is getting to first. You know, Steve Helms talks about having that play to steal first base. You know, if we can figure out a way to steal first, then we'll be really good. But until then, I don't know what we're going to do. We'll find a way to put the ball on the ground, and hopefully people make errors. But – we're definitely not a power hitting team, Stan. We'll figure out a way to get to first and bunt and run and all kind of small ball.
Well, I know the season's starting up. You're in a different position now as far as at school, right? You're in an administrative role.
Yeah.
Has that helped you as far as getting out of the classroom and giving you more time or less time? It could be about the same, you know, to take care of your athletic things as well as your academic and discipline-wise.
Stan, it depends on what day you're talking about. you know, my principal is the best. I mean, I work for the best principal in the world. And, you know, everybody in this area knows Ray Wilson. He is a tremendous man. He's so awesome to work for, and he's so supportive of everything that we want to do as far as academics and athletics and everything that goes on in these hallways. But yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of fun. The first couple of weeks of school, I mean, I went home and told Hillary. I said, I don't know what I've gotten myself into, but it's really fun. And as far as time out, it depends on what day it is, you know, and what's going on and what's happening. But, you know, as far as the faculty and staff here and office personnel and everybody, I mean, and I know I'm very biased as far as how this place is, but Andalusia High School is the best place in the world to work. So, you know, if we need something to get done, it's going to get done.
Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man.
Well, listen, Coach, I know something big coming up. I believe it's February the 12th or 13th? Am I correct?
February the 12th.
You have your annual kids camp, baseball camp. It's going to be held out at Johnson Park. Maybe if you could tell folks just a little bit about that and what you plan on doing that day. I know there's maybe a scrimmage or something. I've heard word gets out. So just if you could just tell us how that day is going to unfold.
Well, we had it planned for last week. So that would have been the 29th. The 29th. Right. And, you know, the high was 42 that day.
Yeah.
So we decided to move it.
Great baseball.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's awesome. It's really, really gets you going. We moved it to February 12th, which is next Saturday. We're actually having our work day this Saturday. And, you know, I already got some dads that are coming after practice and working, you know, awesome to see to have those guys help. I mean, they're so involved and so supportive. But man, yeah, you said it. I mean, when you coached here, I mean, you had guys over 100 kids come to this thing. It's awesome. I mean, kids from everywhere as far as the county goes come to this thing. And, you know, our guys do a really good job. We're going to go from 9 to 11 at Johnson Park, which we're extremely grateful that they let us use the park. Because it's a lot easier, you know, with that many kids. But, you know, we're going to go from 9 to 11 and hopefully scrimmage at 2 o'clock after that. And, you know, we want to invite everybody to come out and, you know, watch a scrimmage and see what kind of product we can put on the field that day. Who knows? Hopefully we'll get good weather. But we're talking about hopefully, you know, opening concessions up that day. Just kind of a meet the Bulldogs kind of deal, I guess you could say. Right. We're hoping we get good weather and it's another big turnout for that.
Now, going back to the camp, is there a cost for that?
Yeah, it's $25 a kid and no T-shirts. I know that's kind of a sticky situation as far as T-shirts go, but, you know, we'll have some stuff to sell that day. And, you know, we've kind of simplified it a lot because the in my opinion, and you know, everybody can blame me for this, but the most important thing that day is to get those kids out there and just to maybe learn something that they can take home with them, you know, and get to hang out with our guys because, you know, our guys are, you know, they're role models to these kids, especially in our community. And, you know, they see them on the field and then, you know, they get to be out there with them and throw the ball and hit with them and whatever. But, you know, that's the biggest thing to me is getting to hang out with those guys for a few hours.
Well, I know I'll have two knuckleheads out there next Saturday.
Absolutely.
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy.
Right here. But let me ask you another thing. You know, very rarely you get to go to a park or a game or anything like that. But when you do, what are some things that you normally catches your eye that probably just a normal fan? What are you looking at?
I'm gonna look see if they have sausage dogs.
Yes.
If not sausage dogs, chili dogs. That's a big deal. Very much. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
So if you were going to concession support, if they had chili dogs, you're probably going to get two.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
I know that me and my two younger boys, we had a chance. We went up there to Auburn's national championship game up there in Birmingham, to the Birmingham Bowl, and got to go to that new stadium there, Protective Stadium. And I don't, you know, they sold it out.
War Eagle.
War Eagle. They're just making light of it. But as soon as we got there, man, and you know, you got two small kids, and it's probably happened to you somewhere before. If it hadn't, it will. My youngest, after he shovels a sausage dog down his gut there in about 30 seconds, throws that thing up all over my lap. And we hadn't even kicked off yet.
Yeah, my kids, my oldest one, Allie Grace, she's Hillary's just kind of giving up on her. She's constantly in and out of the concession stand. So, you know, whoever's running the concession stand, whether it be Tara Dalton or Melanie Day or whoever it is, they just know, let Allie Grace get what she wants and we'll pay it back later. But, man, I've had I've had some guys take care of me in the past couple of years. I have a sausage dog on my desk waiting for me after the game, win or lose. I can say that. Sonny Cravey, he's done a really good job taking care of me the past few years. I'm got to have somebody pick up the slack. I'm not sure who did it last year. Maybe Shannon Glenn or
– I know you have a great job. You have this concession as far as the parents and the folks that help with that. And also you was mentioning the work day of all the dads and moms that come up there and, you know, spend their time. You can see that it's a family-oriented program. It's a great program to be a part of because I know firsthand because I've been there. And what a great backdrop and just atmosphere, on-campus atmosphere, to have a place, facility.
It is. And when the time changes and the sun is setting, right there, right in the third baseman's eyes, behind the cooper. It's a beautiful place. It really is. And it's just kind of tucked in there really nice and a lot of tradition, that. And that's what we just kind of try to honor that, man. And, what we do is do it, play the game right, play the game hard and, respect the game because, I tell these guys, I say, this game's giving me way more than I can ever think about giving back to it. I mean, it's just taking me places I thought I would never, be able to go.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you taking your time out tonight, especially having to leave a basketball game. Maybe get home and maybe your girl's still up. You can get a couple of minutes there with them for that to go to bed. And wish you the best of luck and hope to get to talk to you again later on in the season. And we may be making a trip to a home game to – see those guys up there in that crow's nest cooking all that stuff.
So, that's the coaching corner. We call it the coaching corner. All the coaching goes on up there. So learn something, go up and see those guys that are cooking hamburgers and hot dogs.
Yeah, they've never lost a game, never made a bad call. But
he was gonna put a telephone, one of those old red phones on the wall there so he could call me and tell me what's going on.
and good luck with your camp on February 12th, and
absolutely.
Good luck on a great season.
Thank you, Stan. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. I was head coach and Lucia High School Coach Tyler Dent, and we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Ever rub another man's rhubarb?
Thank you for listening to Stan and the Coach on the Power Prep Sports Network.